Angie for breakfast.
Hello! I'm so excited about this. It's me and you now hanging out, and I would like to officially welcome you to Extra Breakfast with Angie. You can expect stuff from my breakfast radio show, which is for the southwest of Western Australia. So if you live here, you know what's up, right? And if you don't live here, it'll probably make you question why not. But today's offering, a little bit of everything. We'll call it a variety show. I've got a new challenge set by my good friend Pablo. I have to track someone or something down each week in the southwest. And this week, well, it's going to test me. Then I've got to update you on the completion of a goal that I have been working towards for 13 years. And there's even a cooking show on this podcast. It's got a distinctly Northern Territory flavour to it this week. So how's that sound? It's the variety show that is Extra Breakfast with Angie. Enjoy.
Angie for breakfast.
And what I like about you is that you're always willing to get involved in some nonsense with me on the show, right? Well, I found on Friday, you know how I do good news? Well, you might not know. I do good news every single morning religiously at like 10 past six. I find some sort of good news. And the good news that I found on Friday made me think of a dear colleague of mine, and it's going to get out of control really quickly, but it's about bacon.
I found out that a woman from New York City, who used to be a fancy financier in Manhattan wearing Manolo Blahnik, which, just in case you don't know, is a shoe. I didn't know that for a long time, so okay. I'm not being condescending.
No, thank you for the clarification.
Fancy Manhattan City lady buys herself a property 100k's from Melbourne. She's got sheep. Well, she tries to buy some sheep. First phone call to a breeder. She's absolutely got no idea the size of her farm, capacity, nothing. She's absolutely clueless, this lady.
Okay.
Are you still with me? Because this is still good news.
Yeah, I'm wondering where it's going to go, so keep going.
Yeah, so... You know, she's learning how to crutch, to shear, to birth, to run the farm, all the rest of it. The neighbours are a big help, of course, because delightful. She ends up deciding not to sell her meat in the usual way, right? So she processes all of her own 100% grass-fed meat, and she sells it directly to consumers at markets. She ends up making three times the amount for her meat than you could get in the more traditional way. So she's already doing very well.
Okay.
Then her butcher gives her these like long rib looking bits and pieces. And she's like, what's that? And he's like, lamb belly. Good for nothing but dog food, right? So then she's like, waste is a crime. These are my expensive lambs. I don't want to waste a piece of them. And I'm throwing away kilos of meat every time. So no. So then she teams up with her friend, who's a bit of a barbecue master, who starts messing around with this cut, cures it, tries it around, and the world, Tom, now has bacon. Lamb bacon.
Oh, bacon. Yes. Awesome. So it's a thing. It's taken off.
And they reckon that it's absolutely going to go off in the Middle East. Obviously, there's a lot of people that live there that don't eat pork, so they miss out on bacon. But lamb bacon, doesn't that sound delicious?
It just sounds like another piece of meat to add to the table, Angie, which makes me very excited, to be honest.
Right? And I know you've got sheep on your farm.
True. Okay. Yep. So we're looking at maybe doing a bit of a crossover here. But this is good, Angie. This is a very good story.
Bacon! I'm so bloody excited, Tom.
So when are you...
New range for you and your farm or other sheep farm.
Well, look, Angie, so just going back to you for a minute, though, how are you going to secure your first lot of bacon?
Well, this is why I thought of you, Tom.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a mate who's a bit of a master butcher by the name of Pete from Pete's Chop Shop in Australind. I reckon I can come and get some of this lamb belly from you. And then I can take it to Pete. He could smoke it or test it out. And I reckon we could create bacon because anything Victoria can do, the Southwest can do better.
Angie's a scrappy backpacker from way back, scrimping on the small stuff to save for the big adventures. Pablo, well, he's a tight ass. But who will be? Triple M's biggest scab.
So cheap.
I really quite like being referred to as a scrappy backpacker from way back. It makes me feel 19 again.
Good morning, Ed.
Pablo, you've come to us this morning at the start of the week in shame. For shame, you failed your challenge last week, and I was really quite nice to you on Friday about it. But
you turn it around, are you?
It is a competition. It is Monday, and I'm back with gusto because it's your turn to lay the challenge on me.
Well, I was thinking, yeah, back in our day when we used to do a lot of things together, we came up with this concept called World Record Wednesday.
Yeah, we definitely didn't steal it off other people.
No, not at all. And I remember one record that specifically we broke, and it's only recently been broken. And the great thing about recordsetter.com is you can make these records very, very specific. I currently am the world record holder for the only couple and fastest couple to ever shave a mustache in a radio studio. My wife butchered my face, but me and you had the record for the most consecutive times heading a balloon off a wall with two people.
God, I don't even remember that one. And I've got
63.
That's impressive because Pablo has a fear of balloons still to this day. So that was even more spectacular because he was kind of like cringing and panicking every time he went for the head in.
So we made very specific world records.
I had one, and it was the most grapes fit in my mouth. Do you remember that one? And I got the world record for that for a little while.
I do remember that.
That
How could
funny.
I forget?
That was ridiculous. There's a photo on the internet of me with a lot of grapes in my mouth.
We also still hold the most Fitbit steps by two people in an hour while hosting a radio show.
Oh, because then some flogs on the East Coast tried to take that off us and we got it back.
You also got the most orange delivered to a breakfast radio show in 1 hour.
Oh, that was for Wear Orange Wednesday. I can't believe that one still stands. Oh,
you also, Ange, hold the record currently for most balloons popped by two people while hugging in 1 minute. And I am the fastest man to eat a banana while dribbling a basketball in the world.
Oh, God. I can't believe I'm a world record holder still. This is great. All right, why are you bringing this up? Because this is what? Triple M's biggest scab, not like walk down memory lane with Pablo.
Well, I think, yeah, we made these records very, very specific. I want you to track someone down with a legitimate world record.
Oh!
Not something like tagged on the end, two people in a radio studio in 1 hour. Like a legitimate world record that someone's actually proud to proclaim.
A Guinness world record?
It can be a Guinness. It can be a record set of one, a Guinness world record, or, you know, an Olympic, a Commonwealth Games.
Okay.
Olympic, you know, record. It could be something like that. Something that you'd be proud to put on your CV. I don't see you putting on popping balloons in 1 minute.
Well, that's because you haven't seen my CV.
So that's your challenge, Ange.
Oh, who has got a legitimate world record? There's going to be someone fantastic in the Southwest. I know it. I feel it in my bones. I got this, Pablo. Thank you for the challenge.
133353. Call in if you've got that legitimate world record that you're proud of.
Oh, this is a good one.
Cool.
Cheers, Pabs. I'll catch you on Wednesday. So I was in a bit of an oversharing mood on Friday. I think it was the elation of the completion of something quite amazing that I have been undertaking with your support. And in case you missed it, here was my big news on Friday. For the last 3 months, I have been taking lessons with Jason from Bike Training WA to see if I can get all revved up and join the Blue Crew with Southwest Yamaha. And it's been ongoing. You know, I've been talking about it a lot. It's been a big part of my life right now. It's involved a lot of conversations with my fiance, who's not particularly happy about the situation, with my family, who are definitely on the fence, and mainly with myself about having the confidence and the kahunas to actually go through and complete what I started 13 years ago. And it all came down to yesterday. Now, I'm going to overshare too much with you right now, but, you know, anyone that's married just gets this. Anyone that's had a girlfriend gets this. It's a specifically female issue. And basically, you come to a time every month and all the good hormones in your body are ripped away from you. and you end up in a bit of a slump. And I don't know about other females, but it surprises me every time it happens, and it shouldn't. It's been happening for a long time. Anyway, so this happened yesterday without me realizing. So I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm a bit flat. I got out to my where I was going to take the test. And all of a sudden, I just felt the immense pressure of everything. You know, I've been sharing this with you so publicly, online, on air, like the whole works. I felt the pressure of Southwest Yamaha, who've tied their name to it, especially for my teacher, Jason from Bike Training WA. I just, you know, he didn't deserve to have me fail. You know what I mean? And I just, it all just came crashing down on my shoulders. My body's not cooperating. It's not good. So this is what happened yesterday. I have just pulled in to the Harvey Bulls Football Club car park. I'm approaching my teacher. This is very tense, and I'm sorry, Jason, I'm not going to beat around the bush, but I didn't pass and I'm gutted.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I passed. High five. Your face.
Don't do that to me.
His face was amazing. And it was such a good feeling. And a big shout out to Verna, who was my assessor, who listens to Triple Something Else. And so she didn't know about the whole situation, which I was actually so grateful for, because I just wanted to be judged on my merit on the day, nerves and everything. And once I explained to her what we'd been doing, she said, no wonder you were nervous on the bike today. But ta-da, look out, Southwest, there's another bike rider on the road. And just like look out in general, because it is dangerous and people do lots of peanut style stuff in the car. And there's like a weird competition that we do with each other when we get on the road, isn't it? We want to be faster. We want to overtake. We want to be the first person through the traffic light, all that sort of stuff. But if you want to actually race, there's a couple of weeks' time, there's a try it out day on the Collie Motorplex track. So don't do it on the roads because you can kill people, but do it on the track if you want to. It's my advice for you. And it only took me two songs to find my good news for you this morning. I'm quite delighted as well, because once again, it comes from the local stories from the Southwest Times. Actually, this was the Busselton Dunsborough Times journos. And it's awesome because it's official that a Southwest gourmet gelato company is very proud to have taken out a number of medals at the 2021 Perth Royal Food Awards. So Gelato Buonissimo signature wildflower honey, rosemary and orange zest gelato gained another gold medal. How good does that sound? Wildflower honey, rosemary, orange zest. Mmm. It's pretty awesome. Local, epic, Southwest quality products, family run business, going from strength to strength, winning all the awards. This is possibly the best news ever. On the line, joining me is Eric from Crank and Cycles Collie. What we want to talk about today is something that you're involved with because you just love mountain biking so much.
I do.
And you've teamed up with Ride WA, who do all the good ones like Tour of WA, Tour of Margaret River, Seven, Delirium Dirt, all that stuff. But you're having an event in Collie.
Yes, so we have got a massive mountain bike event on the weekend of the 7th and 8th of August, only a couple of weeks away. And this day, so it's a cross-country marathon. So it's on your mountain bike. The short course is 35 kilometres, mid-course is 50 kilometres, long course is 70 kilometres. The 70 kilometres is part of the state marathon mountain bike championships.
Oh, wow.
So all happening. And then on Sunday, we're doing about 50 kilometres at Wellington National Park, from the kiosk or the quarry through to or past the dam wall. Of course, that mural is amazing. And ride some of the old mountain bike tracks at Mount Leonard Pole Road and then come back and ride some of the new ones. So that's going to be a sensational weekend of mountain biking in and around Collie.
You actually forgot one race. Lucky I'm here for you, Eric. I'm here for you, mate. Because there is also a 25K adaptive, and that's hand cyclist or adaptive rider route as well, which is really cool because I've actually done one of those adaptive trails when I went for my mountain bike adventure in Collie, and it's just lovely. Honestly, anyone can do it. Plus, if you got yourself a cheeky little e-bike hire, like there's all of the possibilities, isn't there?
There is. So it is open to e-bikes and it is open to the adaptive cycles as well. And there's two crazy guys, Neil and Richard, who are going to come down and actually do 60 kilometres of the 70-kilometre course on a sit-down tricycle with a hand. So they're crazy.
That's amazing.
And I forgot to mention, on the Saturday, if you're in Collie on the Saturday morning till lunchtime, till early afternoon, we've got a town fair. The markets are in town, so right adjacent to the start line and finish line of the race. We've got some great entertainment. If you've never seen DJ Rev, he's absolutely cool. And lots of markets and stalls and food vans, and the CBD will be absolutely pumping. All the local shops will be open. The art gallery's open. It's going to be brilliant.
And I'm joined by Jeff Stewart, the district superintendent for the South West Police. Hello.
Hello, Ange. Back to school, so watch out for those all the kids out there, and even the adults who are still doing primary school, the Docker supporters out there. So just be careful.
So just we're all behaving pretty well here in the southwest, and just be better on the road.
Yeah, Ange, it hasn't been too bad. But one thing that we wouldn't mind is if people actually, when they go out hiking, bike riding, motorbike riding, let people know where you're going. Leave a plan, write on a bit of paper and say, this is where I'm going. So when you don't turn up or when people report you overdue, we know where we're going to go and look for you. We've been doing too many searches of late where we don't have the information available because people, for whatever reason, don't leave it or don't think they need to leave it and don't think they'll get into trouble. And when they do, a lot of our time and effort is going in general areas rather than to the area where they said they would be.
Cliff and I lost the plot yesterday. It was after six, long day, and it just went a little bit astray. So, of course, I just thought I'd better be honest with you and share it again.
Jeffrey Bezos is going into space tomorrow. The guy from Amazon.
I know.
And there was a petition to say, leave him up there.
Yeah, well, you know. There's
Can we nominate some others?
What's going on with all these guys? Like, who was it the other day?
Oh,
Branson. And it's just a big old swinging competition,
That's
isn't
right.
it?
Mine's bigger than yours.
Oh, no one's as bigger than the guy from Sex Life.
Mankind only has enough blood in their body to run one major organ, and you got to hope that it's going to be the brain. But in his case, his face goes pale. Now, stop that. Stop it. What do we got on for the Brekkie Show tomorrow before you get too much of a visual image?
Well, speaking of an excellent selection of meat, Pete's Chop Shop will be coming to cook up a store.
Is he making sausages? Now listen,
this has gone to pot.
In case you have not seen it, episode 3 of a show on Netflix called Sex Life. Do not look it up on Google Images at work. Do not.
Everyone's talking about it. Let's
yeah.
be honest.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Purveyors of.
What are you supposed to do with that?
Forever?
Really? I mean, you know, you're a female of the species. What are you supposed to do with that? If you
run away. It got very, very silly, and I ended up walking myself out of the studio last night. So, and I just want to be clear, I didn't know about the whole Sex Life controversy. I didn't know what a big deal everyone was making about it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that pun. And it was two guys that brought it to my attention at a work party, and Cliff brought it up with me, and it's been the lads that have been very fixated on this storyline. So just in case you think I'm objectifying men, I'm not. You're all beautiful in any shape, size or form.
But who will be Triple M's biggest scab?
So cheap.
Hey, Pablo, before we acknowledge that you're a, you know, a cheap ass and that we're playing Triple M's biggest scab once again and the challenge is all mine, you know I'm a travel-aholic. It says it in the intro. But this is about being the biggest scab. Now, this is the whole reason why I'm a scab, is because I like to save my money so I can go travelling. But basically, this week, you have asked me to find somebody with a legitimate world record because we found out that I have many illegitimate world records, along with you. Something I thought, you know, people that are also good at finding things are detectives, right, and the police force. So when I caught up with the Southwest's top cop, the other day. Well, I asked him.
World record.
Yeah. Do you have a world record?
A number of no premierships, Fremantle Dockers. No, I actually, I don't know anyone locally that would have a world record.
Right, he might get the world record for being the cheekiest Southwest District Superintendent that's ever lived. But
threw a whole football club under the bus, yeah.
No leads there. But I did have a gentleman call me on the show just the other day that I've got to follow up.
Hey, Ange, it's Leighton here. I was just listening to your radio and you were chasing someone for a record.
Ooh, where are you calling from?
No, around the corner.
Around the corner? Around the corner? Somewhere in the southwest. He's being elusive.
Yeah.
All right, have you got a lead for me of someone that's got a legitimate world record? Is it you?
No, it's not.
Okay.
I'm assuming the person you would be wanting to speak to would be Josh Sheehan.
Okay, so Pablo, Josh Sheehan is like an unreal motocross rider. Like, he's the big cheese. He is absolutely ridiculously talented. And something that he's got named to fame is he has done the world's first and only triple backflip on a bike. Does that count as a world record?
I guess it does. Now, okay. Does he still hold the world record?
Well, I've got some investigating to do. This is early days lead. We're halfway through. I'm also chasing down a lead for a primary school in Vass. So I've got a bit going on to do, Pablo. So you get out of here. I'm busy being a scab.
I like those kind of world records, especially that first one, because it's something that we could not do.
Are you kidding
me? And I think
me?
That should be a criteria.
Why do you think I got my motorbike license? So I could learn to do a triple backflip.
She's coming for you.
Triple M's My Butcher Rules with Pete's Chop Shop. Purveyor of all meats since forever.
And when he says all meats, he really means purveyor of all meats since forever. Pete, welcome to My Butcher Rules.
Morning, Ange. How are you?
Oh, sensational, my friend. You've given me already a big giggle this morning. Tell us what you've brought for our dish this week.
I bought in a crock pot, Ange.
Well, I know you're full of crocs, so this is kind of fitting.
Rightio. So what we've got this morning is we've gone celebrating NAIDOC Week, obviously last week. So we've gone a crock foot wrapped in bacon with a touch of salt and pepper.
Well, we should have started the segment with Kaya.
Kaya.
Should have started with Kaya. Well, I put up a picture of what you sent me the other day in the packet.
Yep.
And Kara commented and said, we had some croc feet from Pete about 3 weeks ago. They were very nice. Also had emu and kangaroo and venison. Great cook up. Now I got a bone to pick with you. I'm always going on about you sourcing everything from the southwest. That does not come from the southwest.
You got me on this one. Northern Territory, is that close enough?
Northern Territory. Hey, well, it makes us feel like we're on holiday. Lots of people can't afford to go to the Northern Territory right now and all the rest of it. So you can bring a little piece of the NT to us.
Exactly.
Let's try it.
Have a try. Look at that.
Throw it over here. All right, so we've got, how do you cook crocodile foot?
So there we cooked those ones this morning. So just put, how's that? Not bad, eh?
Tell me how you cooked it.
Cooked it. We obviously in the oven wrapped them, just baked them in the oven, wrapped in foil, got them nice and soft, and then took them out, throw salt and pepper over the top, and then wrapped them in house-made bacon.
Whoa.
And then just crisped up the bacon. So probably about a 40-minute cook from fresh air. So.
Oh my goodness.
Not bad, is it?
That's
and
beautiful.
What's good, the bacon or the croc?
Well, all of it.
More
I mean,
nice.
Your bacon's beautiful because you do it in-house.
Yep.
The crocodile, in case someone hasn't eaten crocodile before, it's very much like chicken.
Very much like chicken.
Kind of like fishy chicken. Fishy chicken with
tea. Best part about these, Ange, when you finish the croc, the little nails there. We've got a little toothpick.
Croc-toe nails for a toothpick. You are a ridiculous human. But you would like to issue a challenge to the publicans of the Southwest.
Yes. Yeah. Well, when I was cooking these up this morning, I thought, go to a few pubs around the Southwest. How good would it be to order croc and chips?
I think that would be
awesome to see. We celebrate NAIDOC Week and we do, you know, a lot of roo and emu and venison. Croc is beautiful,
they're
Australian croc. So you know, these to come out on a plate with some chips and just a simple croc and chips.
Has anyone ever reacted terribly in the shop where they've
seen it? Oh, you get a few people with a look in there and I've got them in the freezer. So they look at them, they say, oh, I don't like the claw on them and bits and pieces. But it's, to me, I don't mind it. You know what I mean? But there are a few people that
It's very quirky, and I will say when I first saw it, it was a bit confronting because that's the whole thing with our food system these days. Like, I go to you because I can't butcher an animal myself, whereas it still very much feels like it's an animal. But that's kind of important for us to know where our food comes from. It's
exactly,
part of the whole conversation.
Exactly right, yeah.
And now that I've eaten it, Jesus, bloody delicious.
It's not bad, is it, eh?
I actually requested the bacon this week because I needed to talk to you about
bacon.
So you make your own bacon in the shop now, which is really cool. And I've seen quite a few people around the southwest starting to do that more
now. Yeah, a lot of butchers are doing it now, yeah.
Yeah, and it means that you know where the pork comes from, the cure's fresh. Yeah. Like, it's just lovely. But I saw a story on Friday about an Australian first. So let me read you the headline. World first lamb bacon, the key to financier turned farmer cracking the Middle East market. Lamb bacon. Now, I've never heard of it, and I assumed it had never been done before.
Yeah, nah, it's been done.
Right.
Yeah, lamb bacon.
Yep. Oh, that's a thing. Beef, everyone knows.
The lamb bacon, beef bacon. Yeah.
All sorts of bacon.
All sorts of bacon
so
you can do.
Why don't we eat it?
Oh, I don't. I'm not sure. We've done a lamb bacon before, but as a pancetta, a raw product, and then sliced.
Yeah.
All it is a matter of just running it through the oven to smoke it. So,
it
can be done. Definitely can be done. Yeah, it's not, when they say world first, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a butcher?
She's not a butcher. Yeah. I mean, she was from the middle, she was from like Manhattan.
Yeah.
She's a fancy lady, financier. Like she said, and she admits that she bought this plot of land and she had no idea what she was doing, but she just didn't want to see any waste. And her butcher handed her the lamb belly and said, it's dog food. And she was like, well, I don't want to waste this. This is expensive to grow. So she did this $7 million deal with Saudi Arabia to send over lamb bacon.
I reckon we'll give that a try, Ange, and we'll probably get some. Maybe give us a couple of weeks.
All right. I'll
make you some lamb bacon. Ooh. Yeah, for sure. I will do a lamb and a beef bacon.
And if you're on a sheep farm, you know, maybe you could get a $7 million
export industry. Yeah.
And there's plenty of people in West Australia that don't eat pork either for various reasons.
Exactly right. Exactly.
You market, Pete.
Yeah, there you go.
You market. Also, something else that I really wanted to ask you about is how to shop with a butcher, because I think a lot of people got so used to shopping in supermarkets that they are used to that self-service thing. Whereas when you walk into a butcher and you see the glass display, that's not the only thing that's available.
No, exactly right. No, you can walk into any butcher shop in the southwest and ask for 400 grams of mince or a thick-cut rump steak or a T-bone, whatever. Hey, all you got to do is just ask the butchers out the back. If it's not in the cabinet, that's how a lot of the guys down here work, and obviously in the city as well. So you get what you want. Obviously, like you say, walking into a supermarket, if it's, you know, one rump steak and you want a little bit thicker, makes it a bit harder. You've got to buy two as we're walking to the local butchers. Can I have that cut this way or that way? And yeah, a lot better. There's a lot of butchers in the southwest that, we all do it anyway. So,
if you want mince, yep. You just have to ask for it.
Just got to ask for it. If it's in the cabinet, if you want 400 grams or you want a mix of beef and pork mince together and it's not in their cabinets, just ask the butcher and they'll do it for you, which
Amazing.
Is great.
Amazing. Yeah, and I just think it's people don't know that.
Yeah, you know, re-educating us. <suppose.
laughs> Pete?
Yes?
You're full of croc.
You're full of...
And thanks for bringing some croc in this morning.
No worries, you need a toothpick?
I have Australia's most strapping bachelor on the line with me this morning, Jimmy Nicholson. Well, there's a rock star name if I ever heard one. How are you, mate?
I'm good, Angie. Thank you. Good to be here.
Are you ready for the women of Australia to tear you apart?
look, I'm as ready as I've ever been, so... Let's go for it.
Well, before they get to you, I've got time with you this morning. So for us here in the southwest of West Australia, we're going to go on a little date, all right? It's you, me, and a bunch of legends from WA Southwest. Is that okay with you, Jimmy?
Love it. Let's do it.
Jimmy, what makes you unique?
Oh, this is good. This is like night one over all over again. what makes me unique? Oh, I don't know. I think I'm just a knock-around bloke, but... a little bit of a romantic at heart. You'll have to tune in tonight and you tell me what you think makes me unique. But this is the toughest question I've had.
Can you tell me a random fact about yourself?
Love a good cooking show. So I'm right into like watching, you know, on a Sunday where some people, if they've had too many wines the night before, might watch, I don't know, Love Island or what, some show. Mine's cooking shows, so I'll watch a bit of Jamie Oliver, old episodes, and yeah, I just love it. Love cooking as well, so that's my guilty pleasure.
And I feel like the fact that you went to Jamie Oliver reveals more about you. You know, you didn't go to Gordon Ramsay there, so that's interesting.
No.
Paying attention.
Come on, good.
What's something that you'd like to learn or wish you were better at?
What would I like to learn? I wouldn't mind having a go at skydiving. I would like to skydive by myself. I think that'd be pretty crazy. But I really want to know how to sew, because I'm into building motorbikes. And it's the one part of the build that I always outsource, is getting someone else to stitch the seat.
I wasn't sure if you said sail or sew, but you said sew.
Oh, yeah. Lock it in, Eddie. Yeah, sew.
Well, there you go. That's rather interesting. You know, there's a delightful crochet and stitching group that happens in Bridgetown. So, you know, if one of the ladies on the show can't teach you how to stitch, well, then we can teach you here in the Southwest for sure.
Yes, please. Yeah. Tell them to reach out to me. I'd love that.
Tell me what is the most embarrassing thing you can remember that's happened to you, unless, of course, it appears during the season.
Most embarrassing thing that's happened to me. Once I was watching, when I was younger, I was supposed to go to a party, and it was the theme was pimps and hoes. So I didn't know what that was, so I Googled it. And at that stage, our washing line was outside. Anyway, I didn't know Dad was outside doing the washing. It was nighttime. He came in just as all these pop-ups came up, when in the old days when you'd search something, you know, there were so many pop-ups. And some pretty hardcore stuff came up, and Dad walked in, saw it, and sort of had a go at me, and I'm still embarrassed this day.
Did he have a go at you, or did he say, "How did you do that"?
No, if you had have seen what popped up, he was just like, "Whoa, like, what the hell's up?" No, it's not. I'm trying to explain myself. So yeah, that was embarrassing.
Finally, my second last question: How do you know there's a pilot in the room? Don't worry, he'll tell you.
Oh, yeah,
my,
I know.
My brother's a pilot. I couldn't resist not doing
that's good. I like that one. God, we can be wankers, can't we? So hopefully I don't come across as that.
And last but not least, premieres tonight. We get the red carpet, which is always my favourite episode of the entire thing. Are you in love?
I am in love. Yeah, I'm really, really happy. So I couldn't be happier. It's all worked out really well for me.
What's more to say? I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me on.
You know what? I'm going to make Cliff watch The Bachelor premiere tonight and get all of his thoughts. It's going to be too good.
Angie for breakfast.
So there you have it. Extra breakfast with Angie. Can I let you in on a little secret? This has been my first official show podcast that I've put together. I have procrastinated on it for a very, very long time. So I will appreciate your feedback. Did you enjoy it? Were there boring bits? Because we don't want any boring bits in this, do we? Do you want more? Do you need less? Is it too long, too short? I'm just asking, me to you. If you could give me some feedback on it, it would be much appreciated. And we'll do this again in a couple of days. Ciao for now.
Angie for breakfast.